This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Before the day is over, millions of teens will update their Facebook status, send a Twitter message with LOL, or email a link to the latest YouTube phenomenon, all with their parents' permission. This is the modern online version of go outside and play. But just as parents worry if they hear that a sexual predator may have moved into the neighborhood, they worry when a group like the Crimes Against Children Research Center at the University of New Hampshire reports that 1 in 7 juveniles will be solicited online. Are social networking sites rife with predators, or is the risk overblown? If you're a parent, what's your experience? How closely do you monitor your child's computer use? What are your rules? 800-989-8255 is our phone number. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the hour, Britain's decision to ban radio talk show host Michael Savage. But first, we begin with writer Lenore Skenazy, whose piece, The Myth of Online Predators, appeared on thedailybeast.com. She's with us from NPR's Bureau in New York. Nice to have you back on the program.
I'm happy to be here, Neil. Thanks.
And while you accept the fact that some kids are indeed solicited and that indeed some terrible things do happen, you basically argue that the Internet is no more dangerous than the rest of the world.
It might actually be safer. I wanted to say one thing about the number you brought up just in the introduction about that the Crimes Against Children Research Center had found that 1 in 7 children will be solicited online. I interviewed the guy who did that research, David Finkelhor, and he hastens to point out something that is rarely pointed out, which is that those are the equivalent, most of them are the equivalent of wolf whistles. These solicitations are like, hey, are you a virgin? Or what's your bra size? You know, these things that children shrug off. And when I say children, most of the kids who are online getting solicitations like that are really in their teens. And most of the people doing the solicitation are their friends, are other people their same age. This idea that all the Humbert Humberts are out there looking for Dora the Explorer fans to lure to the mall is really overblown. And David Finkelhor himself, the Crimes Against Children research guy, has said, and I have a little quote in front of me, if you don't mind a quote.
Go ahead.
The facts do not suggest that the Internet is facilitating an epidemic of sex crimes against youth. So here we are quoting him as saying, oh, look, all these numbers, all these children are at risk. But he himself has studied the risk and found it to be not nearly as large as we assume. And in fact, you know, not an epidemic whatsoever.
Indeed, you have a son and you let him hang out on the Internet.
I let one of them hang out on the Internet, and I let one of them hang out on the subway. This will go with me to my grave. Yes. One of the reasons I let both of them do these things is I've actually done my research. And when I found out that Facebook is not being used by pedophiles any more than they're opening the phone book, looking for random phone numbers and thinking, this sounds like they might have a cute kid at home, I realized, okay, I could let him do it. And also, I needed help with my Facebook page. So the deal was, I'll let you go on Facebook, and then you help me with my Facebook, which is probably what a lot of parents are doing these days.
And yes, indeed, because we all need to
we
help
all
desperately.
Need the help. Yeah, really.
We all do need the help. But there are legitimate concerns, don't you think?
There are legitimate concerns with children and safety all the time. And you know, I wrote the book Free Range Kids. And the whole free range philosophy is that nothing is ever 100% safe. And there's no reason not to try to keep our kids safe and to teach them some protocols. Just like when they're going outside, you want to teach them how to cross the street and, you know, don't go off with somebody in a van filled with balloons and weapons. Similarly, you want to teach them some of this stuff about the Internet. It's the same as the outside world. You don't want to go off with a stranger. And you do want to have conversations with your kids about why somebody would be offering you things. But that kind of solicitation is so rare. What both David Finkelhor found and also what the 49 states' attorneys general found is that the kids who are most likely to get solicited are the ones who are probably going to get that in regular offline life, too. The kids who are going to more sort of skeevy places or expressing kind of sexual thoughts or sort of making themselves interesting to older people by going on to chat rooms where the subject is like sex or dating or they put really sexy pictures up. It's the chances that the predator is going to look at your MySpace page, which frankly is boring to everyone except your very close friends, is really overblown.
We'll be talking with the state attorney general in just a few minutes. But anyway,
the let's, one, right?
Well, there's two.
All right. Two out of 50.
800-989-8255. If you'd like to join the conversation, email us talk@npr.org. This is Judy. Judy calling us from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Hi.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah. Well, I'm just calling to say that I'm with her on this. That
yay.
Yeah. I have a daughter who's 13, and. Mm-hmm. I worry more about her going to the beach in a bikini and being approached by the university students who think that she's sick, who believe her when she says she's 16, as opposed to somebody online who's 47 years old and pretends to be 16. I think mm-hmm. the only people who fall for that are the ones on the Catch a Predator show on Dateline.
Yeah, there's an alarming number of those people who fall into that trap, though.
Yeah.
What's interesting?
I think that's the only people who are doing it. I mean, because my daughter is smart enough. You know, she can tell. She's not. She can figure out that this guy is not at all what he claims to be. You know, they have that sense. You know, and we've talked about it. I've saved this. If anybody says something to you that makes you feel uncomfortable, you block the message. You don't talk to them. You turn off the computer, and you read a book.
Yeah, and also they're the ones who know how to block a message. I mean, that's the other thing my son has to teach me. But supposedly they do. They ignore it or they block the message just like you would ignore a wolf whistle. You would roll your eyes. I mean, one of the reasons it seems so scary online versus in the real world is that you don't hear the wolf whistles as your kid walks to school. But online, there it is in print, and it just seems that much more terrifying.
Well, I think what I worry about her online is that mm-hmm. she'll post something that could be compromising. I mean,
right, and when she goes to get a job,
you know, kids even in my day, which was way back during the Nixon administration, used to have wild
mine
parties,
too.
But nobody went out, took pictures of them, and posted them on the bulletin board. We all kept mm-hmm. quiet about it,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of feel like it irritates me when I hear kids saying that their privacy has been invaded when adults and principals go looking at their MySpace pages and see all their all the photos of them, you know, drinking,
guzzling.
And thinking, well, what did you expect? You know,
Judy. Anyway, I think, in fact, some people did talk about what went on at those wild parties. Just the rest of us didn't believe you. Judy, thanks very much for the call.
All right,
bye-bye.
Seething with jealousy.
Let's see if we can get another caller in. This is Melissa. Melissa with us from Tucson.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy to be on the show.
Thanks for calling.
I have an 11-year-old who is very computer savvy.
And they all are.
My biggest rule that I have is that I think he's very computer savvy for 11. He's not very computer savvy compared to older children, but my biggest rule that I have is that he must use the computer in the middle of the family room, and he cannot be in a bedroom to use the computer. He does not have access to a laptop, and what he does is there for all of us to see as we walk through the room.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and unfortunately, at his father's house, which is two separate households, he does have access within his bedroom. And he goes to gaming sites where he can interactively chat with people who mm-hmm. are also in those same gaming sites. So we mm-hmm. do still have the conversations about being safe and, not. I prefer he not talk to anybody, and that's the message he gets from me. At 11 years old, he lacks the judgment to be able to decide, who's safe and what mm-hmm. topics are safe and what's okay. But I don't have total control over that, so we talk about safety in a more general way as well.
That sounds really smart, because you're talking about safety, and then you're letting him be where 93% of children ages, I think it's 12 to 17, are now on the Internet. So to not be there would be strange. My kids play games with children in, Russia or whatever, and it's just a regular part of life, like a pickup baseball game would have been in our time.
Right.
Thanks very much, Melissa. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to, if I can figure out the right button. This is Sharon. Sharon in Downingtown, Pennsylvania.
Hi. Great topic today. I just wanted to point out something that happened in our school was that when my son asked to have a Facebook account about 2 or 3 years ago, I told him, sure, that'd be great, but you have to friend me. And for the first couple of months, I monitored what he was doing. And then after that, now he's a sophomore, I kind of let him go. But I see his activity on his wall all the time, and all of his friends know that. Some of them have friended me also. I do mission work, so it kind of ties us in. But what happened it was the beginning of last year, was there was a somebody had set up a page that was, well, I won't go into the details, but it was something that concerned me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called up another parent, and I said, have you seen this page? And she looked on, and this was a Sunday. And I said, I think we should call the school about this in the morning. And it turns out that we called the school in the morning, and they had already been alerted by a different parent on Friday and had already had the person in through law enforcement to talk to them. And I thought it was really cool because everybody worries about Facebook, but on the other hand, you get a window into the kids' chatter, and so you know more of what they're being exposed to.
And just for those even more technologically challenged than me, those few, being
there
friended
must be
means
six or seven.
Yeah, at least being friended, Sharon, means you can see everything that's on your child's page.
Right, and they have some privacy which you can set up. You can help them set up so that you know maybe they can. They have levels of exposure, so there are pictures that only their friends can see or friends and friends of friends can see. But there's no way that any kind of savvy person could set up a website or a Facebook page that other people would see that they wouldn't know about. You know what I mean? There's lots of levels of protection. As long as parents get into the technology enough to understand this, you can keep your kid pretty safe, and you can even stop problems that you would otherwise not have known were going to happen.
Well, limited technological skills may be a factor in this, but thanks very much for the tutorial, Sharon.
Right, and the schools help, too. If you just ask the counselors at school, then they're also adept at this, and that helped a lot at the beginning of my learning curve.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're talking about the facts and myths of online predators. Parents, what's your experience? How closely do you monitor your child's computer use? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. We're going to be talking with one of the researchers at the Crimes Against Children Research Center in a few minutes. Also with Richard Blumenthal, the Attorney General of the State of Connecticut, about the numbers of predators on online sites, which he finds alarming. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Many parents keep a close eye on what their kids do online. One big fear, online predators. We're talking about the facts and myths of predators. Are social networking sites rife with them, or is the risk overblown? If you're a parent, what's your experience? How closely do you monitor your child's computer use? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. There's also a conversation at our website, npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Lenore Scanese is with us. She wrote the article, The Myth of Online Predators, for thedailybeast.com. And joining us now is Janice Wallach, who's a research assistant and professor at the Crimes Against Children Research Center at the University of New Hampshire, with us today from New Hampshire Public Radio in Portsmouth. Nice to have you with us today.
Nice to be here.
And we were talking earlier about that statistic, 1 in 7 children will be solicited online, but also heard from Lenore Scanese, who's done some research into your numbers too, that maybe we're overblowing that.
That's correct, because what we found was that while 1 in 7 youth internet users between the ages of 10 and 17 say they've received an unwanted sexual solicitation in the past year, in most cases, they report very mild incidents that weren't at all upsetting and that they handled very easily by simply blocking or ignoring the person.
So that this is, you're telling us, overblown.
Yes. Now, I should also say that we did look at more serious solicitations. We did find that 4% of kids reported solicitations where the solicitor tried in some way to move the interaction off of the internet into real life, either by asking for a phone number or suggesting a meeting or something like that. Now, even a lot of these experiences weren't particularly upsetting to youth, but we do think that there are sex offenders out there using the internet, kind of hitting on kids to see who's vulnerable. Now, the good news is that I think most kids aren't very vulnerable to these approaches. Most kids have a lot of common sense about the internet, and most kids aren't going to get drawn into sexual interactions with much older people that they don't know. But there are a small number of kids who are vulnerable and who do get victimized in these crimes.
And there are certain sites where they may be more vulnerable than others.
Yes, I think so. But I think the key thing, and this is for parents who are interested in sort of helping safeguard their kids against these types of incidents, the key thing is not getting involved in sexual interactions with people you meet online. Because kids meet all kinds of strangers on the internet. Most of these meetings and interactions are completely benign. And I think the key thing is when someone you're communicating with brings up sex, that's a real indicator that they are, you know, possibly trying to draw a kid into an illegal criminal relationship.
We had hoped to speak with Richard Blumenthal, the Attorney General of the state of Connecticut, and he's not called in. He may. We just have, less time than we thought. We thought he would call in before this. But nevertheless, he issued a press release in February that announced, in response to a subpoena from his office, MySpace, one of the big social networking sites, revealed it's identified about 90,000 convicted registered sex offenders on the site, 40,000 more than previously acknowledged. That seems like an awful lot of people.
Well, I think it's important to remember that these social networking sites have literally tens of millions of users. So to say that they're an enormous public space is what they are. So to say that they are, that, you know, sex offenders are on the internet is sort of like saying, well, sex offenders are in your city or in your state. Certainly they're there. We don't have any information just from these numbers about what those people are doing online. A lot of sex offenders, frankly, are not particularly dangerous or at risk of committing other crimes. Some of them are, and it certainly should be monitored and watched, particularly if people are committing parole violations. But in general, we did find, when we looked at arrests for these crimes, and they were relatively low numbers of arrests, that very few of arrested offenders are registered sex offenders. So another concern we have is that aiming a lot of resources at that particular population isn't going to do much to reduce the number of actual sex crimes that we're seeing in these cases, simply because 96% of arrested offenders, when we looked last in 2006, were not registered sex offenders.
We get another caller on the line, and let's see if we can talk with George. George with us from Anchorage in Alaska.
Yes, I'm a registered sex offender, and I am online. You know, if a person, I'm not interested in children and you know, being a predator. I'm not interested in going back to prison. It's just not something I would want to do.
And when you did whatever it was you did to get yourself registered as a sex offender, did you do it online?
No, I didn't. And that's the thing, you know. Most sex offenses are, you know, people who know other people. It's not about meeting strangers and stranger danger and abduction and all this junk.
Mm-hmm.
All the laws that they're passing to restrict my rights online, I've paid my debt, do nothing for the people who have not been caught. You know, I'm trying to live my life and get back into society and be a taxpaying, you know, member of society. I don't want to be a criminal.
So you, despite your criminal history, the fact that you're arguing you should not be barred from having a page on Facebook or MySpace or whatever.
Oh, I wouldn't bother with, I mean, there's no point in Facebook. It's social networking. I don't care about that, but you know, there's other things that people do online. I have a business. I have a website. I don't want to have to give my password to the government. You know, it's a matter of free speech.
George, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
He's so right to point out that we always emphasize stranger danger. We bring up the idea of somebody, out of the blue pouncing upon our children, whether it's online or on the street. And that's a fear that we have really exaggerated both places, you know, online and in the outside world, to the point where we're not giving our kids a lot of time even to become street smart because we're keeping them so closely held. So the whole free range idea is exactly what Janice was saying, too. You talk to your children. You teach them don't go off with strangers. Of course, you're going to be talking to strangers both online, even if you're playing chess, or out on the street if you're walking to school and, you know, you pass somebody and they say good morning. Teach your children to talk to strangers, how to deal with them, not to go off with them, whether you're going to, you know, make a date to go to the mall or go off with the guy in the van. And then you can give them some of the freedom that we had because really, as we've been talking about, the statistics don't show that this is a very dangerous place to be, either online and then, frankly, offline. We're back to the safety levels of 1970. So really, outside world is not very dangerous either. Well, and we've forgotten that.
Richard Blumenthal may disagree. He's the Attorney General for the state of Connecticut and chairs the State Attorney General Task Force on Social Networking Sites and with us today from his office in Hartford. Very good of you to be with us today, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And do you agree that, as we've been talking about these varying statistics, that our fear of sexual predators on social networking sites is overblown?
I disagree that there's no reason to fear sexual predators because the objective facts about law enforcement, and we know them firsthand as attorneys general, are that young people can become victims of sexual predators just as people of all ages can become victims of scams or criminal activity online or in bricks and mortar establishments. But consider this fact that on MySpace alone, there were 90,000 convicted sex offenders. Those are individuals using their real names and identities, convicted of crimes. Think of how many others who may be lying about their identities or ages may be online. And the fears are not exaggerated in terms of real-life experiences and victims who may suffer the effects of the anonymity of the Internet. You know, the Internet has tremendous potential for great benefits, but at the same time, tremendous perils.
Is there any evidence that you know of to suggest, and this is just from what our other guests have been saying during the program, that the Internet and social networking sites is any more dangerous than anywhere else in the world?
Everywhere in the world is different. Times Square is different from the local downtown of a Westchester suburb or a Washington, D.C. suburb. You know, each place can have its own perils. And the point is to be aware and wary, all of us, not just children, of the specific perils in each place. So to dismiss any one of them as being totally safe is simply to ignore the realities of life.
Nobody's arguing that it's totally safe. What we're trying to find out is, do you consider this more dangerous than being in the real world?
Well, at the risk of repeating myself, maybe I wasn't clear before. Is it more dangerous than being in the real world? Yes and no. There are some places, some sites that are more dangerous, others that are less dangerous than other parts of the world. There's no way you can generalize as between, when you say the real world, between being in some places of the real world that are very dangerous as opposed to some places online that may be much safer. But the reverse is true as well.
The reverse is true.
You know
as
what?
Well.
I think he's
this
right.
This is Lenore Skenazy. Go ahead.
Right. Author of Free Range Kids saying, yes, some sites really are more dangerous. He has a good point. And those are the ones that you don't want your kids going to. You don't want them to go to lollipopsandbikinis.com. You don't want them going to chat rooms where the subject is, you know, how sexy are you today? Take this, whatever. You want them. But the idea that MySpace or Facebook or just kids going online are in danger is, he's one state attorney general who is very worried about this, but 49 other states' attorney generals put out a report back in January, and they did the study with Harvard, the Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society.
That actually is absolutely untrue. That's false.
But there's 49
the
of them and
general,
one of you.
No, I beg your pardon. The attorneys general did not, and I emphasize did not, put out that report. The report was prepared by the Berkman Center at Harvard at the request of a task force without a single attorney general on that task force. It was the result of an agreement reached by 49 attorneys general, and I headed the group, so I know a little bit about it, and MySpace that resulted in MySpace agreeing, and MySpace took full responsibility to form a task force that then produced that report. As a matter of fact, most attorney general were absolutely outraged by that report because it demeaned and diminished the dangers of sexual predators on the site. It took account of cyberbullying. It ignored the realities, and I went to a number of the meetings of that task force, but was not involved in preparing the report or in formally submitting evidence, and certainly no attorney general was a member of the task force. So attorneys general are very, very concerned. Just to give you one example, today, literally, this morning, we met with representatives of Craigslist because, as you may know, the erotic services
section. I highly recommend not going on the erotic services section of Craigslist. That's a good idea for anybody, including kids.
Richard
Blumenthal. Well, that's absolutely right, but it goes back to the question that I was asked earlier, which maybe was a rhetorical question, I'm not sure, whether the real world is safer or more dangerous than the Internet. And the fact is, a place like the erotic services section, which has very graphic and explicit pornography and ads for prostitution and other illicit activity, and has helped to link Craigslist with the murder in Boston, as well as with human trafficking and child exploitation and other illicit activities, is a dangerous place to be exploring for people of any age.
Richard Blumenthal, Attorney General of the State of Connecticut. Also with us, Lenore Skenazy, author of The Myth of Online Predators at the Daily Beast, and Janice Wallach, who's the Research Assistant and Professor at the Crimes Against Children Research Center at the University of New Hampshire. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Leah on the line. Leah calling from St. Louis.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Go ahead, please.
I'm a parent, and I'm very concerned about my daughter's internet activity. When me and my friend were young, this was, you know, about 10, 12 years ago, we were not monitored, and we were both lured in by a sexual predator. I didn't have relationships with him, but my friend did. And then several years later, the FBI contacted us because he had been arrested with 17 accounts of statutory rape. Wow. We were subpoenaed by the FBI. We flew to Kansas City, and we had to testify against him in federal court. And there's only 17 girls that would actually come forward and testify against him. We had to dig through a box of photos of hundreds of other adolescent girls and see if we could identify any of them because they had no idea who they were.
And what kind of site did you meet him on?
This was before Facebook and MySpace. This was before our parents knew about the dangers of the Internet. We were not allowed to go places unsupervised. However, they didn't realize that
you could go on places in a computer that were unsupervised.
Yeah, this was back when Prodigy was really big, and they had their online chat rooms and such. And I was smart enough to know that I didn't want my first sexual relations to be with some stranger, but my friend was lured in, and I saw it happen to her, and we didn't know. You know, we were just so young and naive.
How's she doing, Leah?
She went through lots of therapy. The guy, I think, had 10 or 12 years in jail, and he was released, I think, last October.
Well, Leah, thanks very much for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And Lenore Skenazy reminding us this does happen and can have terrible effects.
This does happen. It's the last thing any of us ever want to happen to our children or any children. It's just terrible. And I wish that the entire world were completely free of dangers online, offline, in the home, everywhere. Unfortunately, it's not. That's why free-range kids' philosophy is you have to talk to your children. You have to try to find out, you know, what they're doing. What I understand the Crimes Against Children Research Center found out about many of the younger people who were lured off, which is still not a big number, was that they were kids who were more sexually abused at home, sometimes in the kind of relationships with their families and their friends offline that made you feel that they probably were a little more vulnerable, a little more out there, vulnerable.
Lenore Skenazy, thank you very much. Attorney General Blumenthal, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
And Janice Wallach of the Crimes Against Children Research Center at the University of New Hampshire, thanks to you as well.
You're welcome.
Up next, the United Kingdom Band's radio talk show host, Michael Savage. This is NPR News.